And thank you for that. Let me remind you that you're listening to Ear to the Ground on KUNM. I'm Matthew Finch. And with that, let's get right to our feature, recorded just before what was, in effect, the CD release party from the band, the ensemble, the duo Beautiful William. Beautiful William are Sage Harrington and Meredith Wilder. There Will Come Soft Rains is the surprise release of the new CD. It is a collection of Sarah Teasdale's poems set to music. We'll hear two songs, a little bit of our interview, and then one more song before we're all done. And then we'll tell you where to, how these artists of a certain vintage even came to know about an artist like Sarah Teasdale of such a very different, older vintage. Step back into Studio C just about 4 hours ago.
This is a Sarah Teasdale poem titled Debtor. I remember that the weekend I came to town to record this with Sage, this was not actually a song for the album yet, but we had a little bit of hangout time after the recording session and popped the book open. And I saw this title. There's already a song called Debt. So I saw Debtor and thought maybe they can sort of be a package deal there. And I really loved the words too. So this was a sort of last minute addition to the album.
Not the very last minute addition, but one of the last minute.
Yeah. Here's the acoustic version.
So this song, it's called The Net. I wanted to write a chord progression where I could sing a single note and have the chords changing underneath it. And as a result of my experimentation with that, I have no idea what key this song is in. So I'm really proud of the chord progression here.
You're venturing off into strange lands.
Yeah. Yeah. Lands of no particular key. Makes it difficult to have friends sit on this song with us. But on the album, this is like a really trippy, like,
circus
carnival
experience.
Ride.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if the words really initially?
I think as the writer of the music to this one, I think it fits because she talks about that deep sea. I feel like there's mysterious stuff underneath there that you just can't. There's a lyric about taking a handful of water and it loses the splendor of the entire sea. I don't know. Maybe we could think of this as an exploration into magical worlds underneath.
An ocean song.
Which, as a side note, I have been wanting to write a song about the magic underwater, like, unexplored undersea for a long time.
First step.
And I think maybe I've done it.
Yeah.
Without realizing it.
All right.
All right. I made you many and many a song, yet never one told all you are. It was as though a net of words were flung to catch a star. It was as though a net of words were flung to catch a star.
Well, it seems that we're sort of floating in and out of past and future at this moment. We're here with Sage Harrington and Meredith Wilder, and it took the two of you had to reach back 100 years to find the text for the Beautiful William project. One difference between me and the two of you, aside from embarrassing amount of years, is that Sarah Teasdale was a poet that they taught us in school. It was like the first poet who wasn't a nursery rhyme was Sarah Teasdale and the Fish, which would explain why I might remember the name, but that's completely different from where you found her. How did you excavate this person?
I had never heard of her.
I hadn't either.
But Meredith and I and some friends were doing a weekend songwriting retreat, vacation, music time together. And we had this idea to put together this show of music from 100 years ago. And part of that was, what if we find poems that are exactly 100 years old? It was 2015. So we went back to 1915, and we found Sarah Teasdale's poetry. And the show, the like 100-year-old music show that we wanted to put together, never happened. But this Sarah Teasdale project happened instead. So
yes,
yeah. So I found some of her poems online and hand wrote them out. And I was like, guys, you have to pick one of these and then write music to it. And then all of my sweet friends, Meredith included, we each wrote a Sarah Teasdale song that weekend.
Yeah, it was the Ladies of the Canyon. We did a few shows together, and this was one of our retreats that we planned to try to get a third show together, which Sage just said never happened. But there is a song on the album called Desert Pools, and that same weekend that we all started fixing up our own individual solo songs, we sat together in a group, and that song is a collaboration from all five of us who were there.
Yeah, we sat in a circle and each of us sang a couple notes and we recorded it.
Yep.
And then it was like this funny game and this weird way to write a song that I'd never done before and might not ever do again.
Yeah, so
but it was really fun.
I want to give them credit for sure because it's one of my favorite songs on the album.
Oh,
it
yeah.
has a very bizarre melody. It's
it's actually like fairly natural.
Yeah.
Like knowing that that was the process by which it came about, it like makes a surprising amount of sense.
Yeah, I just don't think I ever would have come up with it on my own.
No.
So you weren't informed really by making music that sounded like 100 years ago, because both of you can reach back there. I know in your past work, if you haven't played exactly charts from 100 years ago in folk tradition or even in early jazz traditions, you've like... You get a vibe. You can pick up that vibe. That ukulele is as old as Sarah Teasdale, for one
it's
thing.
True. I have this beautiful Martin ukulele from the 1920s. That's my prized possession.
Yeah,
and it's the perfect instrument to play this stuff. Although, yeah, the music itself is not necessarily in line with the feel of music from that era. But
Sage has some old-timey songs.
Yeah.
On the album, not intentionally, I think, but
some of them might. You could say that they fit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely the lyrics are the main thing.
And you know,
that time.
I don't know much about poetry, but I feel like her lyrics are very contemporary in a way, especially for romance and just existential longing. So, in that sense, it's timeless. It's not like you read it and think that it's some kind of
antiquated, dated.
Right.
Sort of
it sounds very contemporary to me.
I think she was part of the sort of plain spoken, I don't know if what became modernism, you know, this plain spoken style which informed Lou Reed and all kinds of other rock poets.
Which is what makes it so great for songwriting, because it's all so clear and precise and beautiful and just hits this very special.
So
how did
this just take off? Because okay, you're at a collaborative event, a songwriter's event. This is something that both of you have specialized in, sort of whether you're gathering or you're working long distance. That's one of the things that you do. But coming up with the one song, and now we're looking at an album of 13 of them. How does that tumble out?
Well, I just love Sarah Teasdale's poems for so much. For songwriting, they're amazing. And my own personal neuroses around songwriting, it's easier to do a collaboration with someone from 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I look at her lyrics and they're so good. And they just call to have a beautiful melody placed around them.
And
it's like there's so much self-doubt around writing your own song. So it's nice to get away from that for a little while and just sink into someone else's beautiful words.
Yeah. And even though the show didn't happen, this was kind of a way to carry on the Ladies of the Canyon idea. In a way, this gives Desert Pools a place to live, which is really great. And the two songs that we added the weekend we were recording the album, I think we thought we had 11 songs and we ended up with 13. just goes to show that this isn't necessarily going to be the only CD of Sarah Teasdale poetry or just poetry in general that Sage and I do.
There's more. Yeah. There's more Sarah Teasdale songs that are not on this album that I've written since because I love them so much and I keep writing them. I can't stop writing them.
Well, when people are hearing this, you've just finished up sort of debuting these in duet performance at Bookworks in Albuquerque. So, there is now a specific website for this project?
There is, yeah, beautifulwilliam.com. I'll say this. Our band name is Beautiful William. It is not Sweet William. So remember, beautifulwilliam.com.
Okay.
Maybe we could have it. So if people type in Sweet William, it directs them
to. It redirects. We have to get that domain, too. Just Beautiful William. We selected this band name because there's a Handsome Family song called Beautiful William. And we love the Handsome Family.
It's also my dad's name, which is kind of cool.
Oh, it's my grandpa's name. Nice. I never talked about this.
Well, you're both obviously have hands in a lot of musical pies right now. We are looking forward, we're told, to a second Sage and Jared Happy Glam Band album.
It's true. Spring 2018.
And then I heard that this mythical group, Wildwood, that had ridden off into mythology suddenly showed up all over again, like Friday night. Is this true?
It was Thursday night.
Thursday night?
Yeah. It was a really wonderful show. Alex McMahon is co-teaching the UNM Honky Tonk Ensemble class and reached out to me to see if we could put together our John Eric Johnson songs again, because we do have recordings of those, and perform them in addition to some more that we learned for the show on Thursday. So it was a whole set of John Eric Johnson music, and it was really great to reunite for that, for both to support the UNM class and to give honor to those songs, give them a place for a performance.
Now, you're both bouncing around. You're here and there. I know there are The Songs on the Res project is going to have a second iteration sometime in the summer.
Yes.
So we'll be getting you and Christina Jacobson back here March or something like
March,
that.
March, yeah, right before a fundraiser show for the songwriter workshop.
What else are you working on, as if you don't have enough going on already? SageHarrington.com is where we find all of your work, musical and otherwise.
Yeah, sageharrington.com for all of your Sage and Jared's Happy Glam Band needs. And, well, I also teach yoga, so I've got that going on too.
And Meredith, I know that you have had a whole slew of solo recordings that you've been putting together in demo form, working with keyboards, I think maybe for the first time as primary instruments. So, What's the schedule? When do we get to see the performance, or when do we get to hear it released in some form?
No shows booked yet, but the recordings are from the summer residency I did in Taos, and I'm thinking also spring or summer 2018 to release them after I kind of fine-tune them a little bit as home recordings. Yeah, and keyboard has been the primary instrument for those, just because there was a grand piano at my residency. So I couldn't.
You couldn't say no.
Not do it. Yeah, yeah. And it was great to brush off the keys a little bit and remember that I did learn how to play that once.
Oh.
There Will Come Soft Rains is officially the last song added to the album.
Mm-hmm.
We, I remember reading this one out loud and being completely taken with it after hearing it and just sitting with it as a poem. The other songs, I think I added music to them a lot faster than this one because I let it sink in a little bit. So I really love that it's the title track of the CD. How do you feel about it?
I feel like this is the perfect song for our current political times.
I agree. It's very comforting.
It's comforting because even after we completely destroy our planet, things will go on without us.
Yep, they won't even know that we're gone. All right. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
There will come soft rains and the smell. of the ground and swallows circling with their shimmering sound, and frogs in the pools singing.
Now, the keyboard wasn't the only adventure on the album. On the album, as released, you're really creating something much more dense than what we have here.
Absolutely. A lot of reverbs on the album. Sage and I had a lot of fun discovering the different things we could do with that. And we all played...
You can make so many different kinds of echoes.
Yeah. We were pretty determined to be the only two instrumentalists on the album, and we successfully did that. A few times it was a little...
Yeah. There's one song that we kept pretty sparse as far as the arrangement goes. There's guitar vocals on that one, but pretty much every other one we layered exciting things on top of other exciting things with other types of reverb.
Yeah, we used the Nord keyboard. Sage plays ukulele and guitar, and then we were able to use the acoustic and electric guitar and use a lot of the effects for the electric, more than I've ever used before.
Mm-hmm. And the Nord has all kinds of toys attached to
it. Oh, yeah.
As well.
Yeah. And we.
Yeah, it's got a lot of great organ sounds, a lot of great samples.
We learned a solo backwards so we could play
fun.
It the other way in the recording.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
And then we realized you could also put an effect on the keyboard that makes it sound like it's backwards already. But you know what? It was a fun. It was a fun task.
Remember that.
Yeah. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. Backwards keyboard solo. Hashtag my favorite part.
Well, we're about to hear something from that session, but first let me remind you that you've been listening to a recording made earlier today in Studio C by yours truly, Sage Harrington, vocals and that 1920s vintage ukulele, soprano, and Meredith Wilder on vocals, Fender Telecaster, and acoustic guitar. That just about does it for us. We're going to leave you with one of the studio recordings for this new project. Remember, it's beautifulwilliam.com, where you will find There Will Come Soft Rains, a collection of Sarah Teasdale's poems set to music by the aforementioned Meredith Wilder and Sage Harrington. We'll leave you. Stay tuned for Route 66 coming up in a few.
From heaven.